Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs.
We live in a culture where I think you'd have to be dead not to realize that it's an election year. There's the Gallup poll, and there's the Harris poll, and there's this poll and that poll, and the focus seems to be on approval ratings. Will the Democratic presidential candidate have a higher approval rating than the Republican candidate, and how close will it be, and what are the trends in that poll? And everything seems to be concerning approval. Well, I guess that's because the approval of the populace will determine the outcome of the vote. And that's sort of axiomatic. I find approval ratings an interesting subject from a spiritual standpoint. Seems to me that Jesus Christ would have been the most approved of person ever to set foot upon the face of the earth. The Bible teaches us that he was perfect. The Bible teaches us that the reason that he left heaven to come to earth was for the benefit of mankind. But yet, as we study the life of Jesus, we find that not everybody approved of him. And even more strange in my mind was that the most vocal critics were the religious leaders of the day. And their major problem, it seemed, with Jesus was that he was too friendly with the wrong kind of people. Jesus had an answer for that criticism, and that's recorded in Luke the 7th chapter, verse 31. Through 35. Jesus said, it's impossible to please all of these people anyway. What I'm doing is wise, and not only is it wise, it's right. And Jesus said the outcome of what I'm doing will prove the validity of the actions that I'm taking. With that in mind, I call your attention to our text for the day. It's found in Luke the 7th chapter and begins in verse 24. Luke 7, beginning in verse 24. You have it yet? And when the messengers of John had left, he began to speak to the multitudes about John. What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? And what did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who are splendidly clothed and live in luxury are found in royal palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and one who is more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. I say to you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And when all the people and the tax gatherers heard this, they acknowledged God's justice, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected God's purpose for themselves, not having been baptized by John. To what then shall I compare the men of this generation, and what are they like? They're like children who sit in the marketplace and call to one another, and they say, We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not weep. For John the Baptist has come eating no bread and drinking no wine, and you say, He has a demon. And the Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, Behold, a gluttonous man, and a drunkard, and a friend of tax gatherers and sinners. Yet wisdom is vindicated by all of her children. When you and I read that passage, and we come to grips with the fact that Jesus Christ is a friend of sinners, it excites us. It tells us we've got a chance. It tells us there's a possibility for us. Regardless of how low we've stooped, regardless of what diabolical things that we've done, in Jesus Christ, we have an advocate. We have a friend. We have a Savior. On the eve of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, He conferred a great honor on His disciples. I've been to honor and awards assemblies. I was blessed to go to a few in which I sat at the head table. More fun than that, I went to some where my kids sat at the head table, and upon them were honors bestowed because of their efforts. But of all of the trophies that I've ever heard about and all of the trophies that I've ever seen presented, the greatest honor that's ever crossed my mind is that honor that Jesus bestowed upon His disciples in John 15 and verse 15. He simply said, "I have called you friends." Wow. Think of that. Think of sitting with Jesus Christ and having Him say about you that you're His friends. Not only that, Jesus opened the door for anyone who wanted to be His friend, regardless of the time in the history of the world. Even in 2008, if you want to be the friend of Jesus Christ, it's possible because Jesus wants you as His friend. Listen to John 15 and verse 14. "Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." So then, whether or not we're the friend of Jesus depends on whether or not we want to be. Whether or not we're the friend of Jesus Christ depends on how badly we want to be His friend, how valuable we determine His friendship to be. When you and I come to grips with the fact that our very eternal safety and salvation rest upon our relationship with Jesus, we'll give up anything, we'll do anything, we'll go to any extent to establish and maintain that relationship with Jesus called a friendship. I believe that one of the warmest words in the English language is the word friend. It brings to mind images, and it brings to mind ideas of happiness. I can think back in my life all the way to preschool, and I remember who my friends were, and I remember the things that we did together and the things that we said. I can remember who my friends were in high school and the fun that we had and the enjoyment that we had. I can remember most of all the friends that I had through church and the relationship that we had through Jesus Christ, and how we could study together and be together, and we would often say that it was so good to be with those of like precious faith. In other words, there was a standard. There was someone that we looked to that drew us together, and that was Jesus Christ. You can search the New Testament. You can analyze all of the direct teaching of Jesus Christ, and you'll not find any specific teaching on friendship. But I'll tell you what, all you need to do is look at the life of Jesus and you see the meaning of friendship. You see the motive of true friendship. Some friendships are for pleasure. Some friendships are for profit. I don't know of very many people that haven't experienced a calculating friendship that grows out of false motives. It's kind of like when my wife and I built our first swimming pool. And all of a sudden we had friends, I think some that we didn't even know, that we had never met before. That friendship was not the kind of friendship that is valued in life, is it? Everyone has experienced that kind of friendship. Some friendships we avoid because the price tag on those friendships is just too high. But Jesus wasn't that way. Jesus chose disciples for what He could do for them. He could do for others through them. Jesus was not one of self-promotion. Jesus was one of friendship. Friendship based upon goodness, the goodness of doing what's right because it's right. The enemies of Jesus Christ called Him a friend of sinners because He socialized with them. Note the calling of Levi, or as we know him better, Matthew. That's found in Luke, the 5th chapter, and verse 27 through 32. Interesting reading. Look at Luke 5, beginning in verse 27. After these things, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi. He was sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." So he left all, rose up, and followed him. Then Levi gave him a great feast in his own house, and there were a great number of tax collectors and others that sat down with him. And their scribes and the Pharisees complained against his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Levi, who had a job that was perhaps the highest paying job in all of the age in which he lived, that of a tax collector. The Roman government would take positions as a tax collector, and they would bid them to the highest bidder because that was such a lucrative position. Tax collectors would go and they would collect the tax that the Roman government wanted, and then anything over that they got to keep. So they would get some strong-armed guys, and they would go and collect taxes, and they become rich. And especially in Judea was there a high rate of return on being a tax collector, and the Jews just hated the tax collectors. And here was a tax collector that Jesus Christ called to be a disciple. And not only that, a tax collector that was willing to give up such an important and lucrative position and follow him right away. And not only that, he wanted his friends to come and meet Jesus Christ. The scribes and the Pharisees were characteristically critical. I tell you what, they just complained about most everything. Jesus explained, "They that are whole don't need a physician. They that are sick need a physician." He said, "I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners I came to call, and I came to call them to repentance." You know why? Because they needed Jesus Christ. True friendship is an uplifting experience. I think one of the most touching stories in all of the Bible is a story about Jonathan and David. My son's name is David, and he lives in the Houston, Texas area, and his first son, he named Jonathan. And I know that he named him Jonathan because of the relationship that Jonathan and David had in the Bible, that close friendship that was even closer than a blood relationship. Their friendship, Jonathan and David in the Bible, was a spiritually strengthening relationship. Who can forget 1 Samuel 23 and verse 16? There the Bible says, "Jonathan searched out his friends in one of his darker moments and strengthened his hand in God." Jonathan's dad was the king, King Saul, and Saul hated David because the people loved David in Saul's eyes more than they loved him. And he set out to do David harm. In fact, he set out to kill David, and Jonathan, the son of Saul, the friend of David, gave him information and protected him against his dad, and that friendship was just an icon for friendships throughout all time. Jesus has come, and he's extended friendship to us. He knows Satan is after us. He knows the power of the devil. He overcame the power of the devil, which is death. When you study the book of Revelation, you see that great war between good and evil, and Jesus won. Jesus knows that we need help in overcoming the devil. Jesus knows that the devil will set before us temptations, and he promises us that he won't allow Satan to tempt us beyond that which we're able to overcome. It's an uplifting, it's a transforming experience to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. True friends are the kind of friends that lift burdens. One of the Bible's most vivid scenes is Jesus Christ as he hung on the cross. He bore our burden of sin. He took our guilt. He took our condemnation, and he took it to the cross. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, the Bible says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him." One of the most touching passages in the Bible is Psalms, the 22nd chapter. In Psalms chapter 22, we read of the mind of Jesus Christ as he died on the cross. the words are almost too vivid to read without overt emotion. There, the mind of Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. Oh, my God, I cry by day, and thou dost not answer, and by night, but I have no rest. Yet thou art holy, O thou who art enthroned upon the praises of Israel. In thee our fathers trusted, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. To thee they cried out and were delivered. In thee they trusted and were not disappointed. But I am a worm and not a man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All who see me sneer at me, they separate with a lip, they wag their heads, saying, commit yourself to the Lord, let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, because he delights in him. Yet thou art he who didst bring me forth from mother's womb. Thou didst make me trust when upon my mother's breast. Upon thee I was cast from birth. Thou hast been my God from my mother's womb. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me, strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They open wide their mouth at me as a raving and roaring lion. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It's melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws. And thou dost lay me in the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me. A band of evildoers has encompassed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I can count all of my bones. They look, they stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But, Lord, be not far off. O thou my help, hasten to my assistance. Deliver my soul from the sword, my only life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. Jesus Christ hanging on the cross for our sin. If you'll remember, before Judas led the people in to arrest Jesus at the Garden of Gethsemane, he went three times to pray to the Lord, and he prayed that the experiences of the cross might be lifted from him. And each time he prayed, thy will be done, to God. And then he experienced the cross. He experienced the cross because he's our friend. He lifts our burdens. A friend is not only one who lifts burdens, a friend is self-giving and self-sacrificing. Friendship forgets about self and concentrates on the benefits derived for a friend. I don't know if you're familiar with the Greek legend of Damon and Pythias, but it illustrates the point that we're talking about very well. Damon was sentenced to death by the government, and he needed to go home and to get things in order. And there were provisions in Greek mythology for that kind of a pilgrimage when a person was convicted of the death sentence. The situation demanded, though, that someone come and take that person's place in jail. And if that person didn't return, the one who come to serve the time for him was put to death in his place. And Damien went to make things in order, and Pythias stood as a surety as Damon went home. And Pythias was there incarcerated, and Damon was trying to get back to be put to death. But his ship was delayed on the return voyage because of bad weather. And Pythias prayed very urgently every day, and his prayer was that Damon would not return, that he could give his life for his friend. Damien arrived at the last minute, according to that story, and there was this great argument between two friends, and the argument had to do with who would take the death penalty. Pythias wanted to die for his friend, argued over the privilege to die for one another. And I'm sure that legend stirs your heart some, but I tell you what, we don't need fiction to show us perfect love and friendship. Jesus did that in real life. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's what Jesus said in John 15 and verse 13. Friends are those that are there in the time of need. Friends are those that care. They listen. They understand. They are really caring. Jesus is always there to speak on our behalf. I read in Hebrews 4 and verse 16, "Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need." There can be no greater, there can be no need that's so great that Jesus cannot help us. The friendship of Jesus Christ is one in which He took the initiative. He said in John 15 and verse 16, "I have chosen you." He didn't come to us because we're so desirable. What would make us so desirable that Jesus would give His life for us? Look, if you would, in Romans, the 5th chapter. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the saints that worshiped in Rome in chapter 5, beginning in verse 6, said, "For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." See, Jesus took the initiative. Note, if you would, in 1 John 4 and verse 19, the Bible says, "We love Him because He first loved us." Jesus built His church to reflect His own heart and His own life. He came to seek and save those who were lost, Luke 19 and verse 10. In Jesus Christ, you and I have an example of extending friendship to sinners. As His body, the church has to continue with that work. The church is not some exclusive, introverted club. If Jesus came to town, where would He go with His message? To what people would He extend fellowship and friendship? We may be like Jesus Christ criticized for associating with the wrong kind of people, but Jesus' words are still true. It's the sick who need the doctor, not those who are well. The purpose of Jesus Christ is our purpose, to extend friendship to sinners in order to bring them to Jesus Christ is our purpose. The church is in the business of changing lives. The Corinthian congregation took their mission seriously. Paul said some were adulterers, some were homosexuals, some were drunkards, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 through 11. But he said they changed. They would never have changed if somebody hadn't taken Jesus to them. There would have been no reason for them to change. You and I must continue in His example. You and I must exhibit the kind of personality and the kind of attitude that lets a light shine, lets people see Jesus in us. We must speak His message. It must be a pure message. It must be a message that we find in the Scripture, that is a message of authority, that has God behind the message. But we must speak that message. We must invite people to become His friends by doing His will, not only by the way we live, but by what we teach them in our everyday life. Luke 15, verse 2 says, "This man receiveth sinners." Well, I'll tell you, Ken Leach is glad that he did, because I don't know how I could be saved without Jesus. The answer is, there is no way to be saved without Jesus. Where would we be if Jesus Christ didn't love sinners? Well, that's the message for today. I pray that our concentration over the last three lessons on Jesus Christ has been meaningful and has built you up, that has allowed you to walk with Jesus Christ a little way, to love Him a little bit more, to know Him a little bit better. We teach about Jesus Christ at the Monte Vista Church of Christ. We honor Him every first day of the week through the partaking of the Lord's Supper. We spend a lot of time in singing praises to His name, in praying to God through Jesus Christ, our Savior. We invite you to come, and we invite you to bring your Bible. Compare what you hear taught at the Monte Vista Church of Christ with what the Bible teaches. See for yourself whether or not we're teaching man's doctrine or the doctrine that is taught in the New Testament. The Bible talks about some people that were more noble than some other people because they examined daily the Word of God. we invite you to examine daily the Word of God. I make this promise to you. If you come and worship with us and see things that we're doing or teaching that are not authorized by the Word of God, we'll change those things. It's our purpose to teach only the pure and unadulterated Word of God. And through that teaching and through the belief that it engenders, hear Jesus say on judgment, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of your Lord." Thank you so much for listening. I pray that each of us have ample opportunity this week to let a bright light shine for Jesus Christ.
Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Rhodes. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen.